Ramsey TV.
We all know that the Corinthians were a mess. Yeah, tell us something we don't know. The Corinthians, Paul called them immature. We know that there was infighting among them. They were saying, some of them were saying, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos. They were very sectarian. When they gathered to eat, they didn't gather orderly. They were all just trying to stuff their faces. They were like an unruly fifth grade class. One guy was having sex with his stepmother. Yeah. And we know that they were into the cult prostitutes. Yeah, they liked the old cult prostitution. Knew they would. And so Paul had his hand full with them. And yet, he loved them. In fact, to them, he wrote the love chapter. Paul did. He was very fond of them. He despoiled other ecclesias in order to give freely to the Corinthians, which means Paul got support from other groups of people because the Corinthians just weren't with it. They weren't very helpful. So Paul lavished things on the Corinthians. Didn't expect anything from them. Other ecclesias filled his needs, like the Philippian ecclesia was big time. That might have been, that was the biggest supporter of Paul. So God bless the Philippian ecclesia, and especially Lydia and her cohort of women who gathered by the river in Philippi to pray. Yes, she was a seller of purple, and she became a patroness of Paul. And some believe that she financed Paul's first missionary journey into Europe. Not a bad entry on the resume there, Lydia. Good job. So, in light of all I said about the Corinthians, get it? In light of all I said about the Corinthians, listen to how Paul starts the letter to the Corinthians. I mean, I have a feeling that Paul had a special place in his heart for these people. And, oh, of course, he's the one that he writes this to in verse 26. Now, this is really insulting, but the Corinthians might not have been intelligent enough to realize how severely Paul was insulting them. He didn't really mean to insult them. He just did it offhandedly, which is even worse, I think, because, well, Paul says this in verse 26 of chapter 1. For you are observing your calling, brethren, that there are not many wise according to the flesh, not many powerful, not many noble, but the stupidity of the world. As he says this, it's like if he could, he'd be gesturing to the Corinthians. Observe your calling, brethren. Look among yourselves. Obviously, there are not many wise according to the flesh. That's a nice way of saying you're all a bunch of idiots. You're stupid, Corinthians. But Paul is a sweet way of saying it. Observe your calling, brethren. There are not many wise among you. Yeah, not many powerful, not many noble. But I will say this about you. It's the stupidity of the world that God chooses. There he is, talking to the Corinthians. That he may be disgracing the wise and the weakness of the world God chooses. This is why I think that we would fellowship very well, get along very nicely with the Corinthians. Yeah. If the Corinthians were in a classroom, they'd be cleaning the erasers after school. They would be staying in for recess. They would be the ones who were always going down to the principal's office. It's the weakness of the world God chooses, that he may be disgracing the strong and the ignoble and the contemptible. Look among yourselves. Obviously, God chooses contemptible people. And that which is not, that he should be discarding that which is, so that no flesh at all will be boasting in God's sight. God chooses that which is not. I like this. If you're wondering where's your place in the world, why do you seem to be invisible? Because God chooses what is not. But when the fortunes turn, and they're going to turn soon, he he's going to be discarding that which is. And Paul tells the Corinthians in another place, I think this same chapter, no, it's probably chapter 2, the chiefs of this eon are being discarded. Verse 6, chapter 2, 1 Corinthians. Wisdom we are speaking among the mature. Some were mature, but basically the Corinthians were an immature ecclesia. Wisdom are we speaking among the mature, which doesn't include you, dear Corinthians. But I'm just telling you, like, at other places, we're dispensing wisdom among the mature. You wouldn't know anything about this, so I'm just telling you generally. We are speaking among the mature, yet a wisdom not of this eon, neither of the chiefs of this eon who are being discarded. I like that. So here's how Paul starts the letter to the Corinthians. Paul, a called apostle of Christ Jesus through the will of God. He's not setting himself up at the beginning here. He's an apostle, which is a sent one. That's all the word means, an apostle. The mailman is an apostle. Anyway, Paul, a called apostle through the will of God, not through Paul's own will, but the will of God, and Sosthenes, a brother. I like this guy's name. His name means save place. This guy has a place of salvation. Sosthenes. Greek, obviously. God had saved a place for him and for every one of these Corinthians. Because listen to this. Through the will of God, an apostle, and Sosthenes, a brother, to the ecclesia of God which is in Corinth, hallowed in Christ Jesus. Hallowed in Christ Jesus. These people are holy. Yes, but I thought, Martin, you just said they were immature and some guy was having sex with his stepmother. Yeah, and they were tapping into the cult prostitution trade. Yeah, but hallowed has nothing to do. This is the word holy. This is the verb form of holy. Holy is an adjective. You're holy. Hallowed is what God does to you to make you that way. He hallows you. And it means to be separated to him for a special place. And Sosthenes' name means safe place. We have been separated by God, separated out from among the world to be separated. We've been separated in order to be separated. And this makes the word holy makes no comment as to anyone's moral achievements, because my point is Paul is calling the Corinthians holy. You're hallowed. This ecclesia in Corinth is hallowed. Now Paul's going to kind of kick him around a little bit. He's going to challenge him here, but he's starting out this letter by first humbling himself. I'm a called apostle through the will of God. Okay? And he's bringing this Greek guy along, Sosthenes. He's sending along the greeting of Sosthenes to the Corinthian ecclesia. And this guy's name means saved place. He has a place of salvation right along with the Corinthians. And he's calling the Corinthians hallowed in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. This is the specific term Paul uses, not Jesus Christ, which the circumcision uses. You know, the circumcision, no writer in the circumcision, not Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Jude, Peter. Am I missing any in there? No? James? None of them use Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. This puts his exalted title first. Christ is not his last name, it's his title. Paul exclusively uses Christ Jesus. Now, Paul also uses Jesus Christ, and it's interesting to look at all the places where he says Jesus Christ rather than Christ Jesus. I'm going to get past verse 2 here. Wait and see. Hallowed in Christ Jesus, called saints. Yes, it's the same word. I would wish the concordant would have translated it same. They should have said sainted in Christ Jesus. Or they should have said called the hallowed. They use two different translations for the same Greek root, hagiazo. That's the Greek root for holy, hagiazo. They're hallowed in Christ Jesus. They're called saints. Those who are hallowed, those who God pulls out, separates from the rest of the world. I want you and you and you and you. Just like Jesus separated the disciples, Peter and Andrew at the Sea of Galilee. I want you, 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 you. That is how we are hallowed. That's what it means. Separated. Separated unto God for his use. For God's use. And to prove to you that the word holy has nothing to do with how you behave, Whether you're tapping into the cult prostitution trait, I hope nobody here is tapping into the cult prostitution trait. The cult prostitution trait. And remember, prostitution is only legal if you're in Nye County, Nevada, okay? I just read that in a book, honestly. So, it has nothing to do with moral attainments, because what is the land that God brought the Israelites called? He brought the Israelites into what? The Holy Land. The Holy Land. Does the land behave itself? No. It just means that that land is separated to God. It's holy. This proves that the word holy makes no comment as to anyone's moral standing. And the implements of the temple, the vessels, were said to be holy. They were separated. Holy vessels. Yes. It's a generic word. Anybody can take this word. It's a 10-cent Greek word that you can just pull out of a Greek dictionary. But in this context, when it says hallowed in Christ Jesus, that's special. You can separate vinegar from oil. The vinegar is hallowed over here. The oil is hallowed over there. You can take an Oreo apart and you can hallow the cream first and then hallow the cookie. I'm not kidding you. This is a generic word, but I just want you to know that it means separated for use. Separated for use, hallowed in Christ Jesus, called saints. Yes, together with all in every place who are invoking the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both theirs and ours. Now Paul says the Lord Jesus Christ, uses the triple threat here. Lord Jesus Christ. Lord is sanctioner. It's an owner. It's the one who owns us. It's very nice to be able to call Jesus Christ Lord. I like being owned. I like it. I like having the marks of, and I think Paul felt this way when he was beaten. I'm wearing the brand marks of Jesus Christ, Paul said. Didn't he when he was beaten? That speaks to his lordship. Lord means owner. It's just great. I just love that. It's cozy, even when you're getting beaten. Those were God's marks of ownership. Jesus Christ's marks of ownership. The Lord Jesus Christ puts his Savior name first. Jesus, Old Testament Joshua, meaning Savior, Christ anointed. Master, owner, Savior, anointed. We are invoking that name along with the Corinthians. And Jesus Christ does all that for us. He's our Lord. He's our Savior, and he's the one who's anointed. He's anointed with power to be king, to be the king, and he has the power and the authority to hallow us, which he has done. And he did it with the Corinthians of all people. And Paul, I think Paul is pointing out some of their flaws. It's like people ask me, Martin Sander, how do you tell that God wrote the Bible? How do you tell? Because if humanity had written this, it would put a better light on humanity. It would be less humiliating, less embarrassing for human beings. Here's this group of people who are following Paul, and Paul lists their flaws. But before he does, he wants to make sure they're sealed in their apprehension. They know that they're hallowed. They're called saints. They're invoking the name of the Master, the Owner, the Savior, the Anointed One. They have all these benefits. Paul loves them. The first guy who received this message, the numero uno chieftain of the celestial realm under Christ, is Paul, and he loves these people. Wouldn't that make you feel good? Even the guy who was screwing his stepmother. But Paul said, you got to discipline this guy. Don't talk to him. Don't eat to him. Make him feel like really bad. And then once he repents, which I'm convinced he will, then take him back in. Don't get all Amish on the guy, okay? It's for a purpose. Now, Paul says, I'm thanking my God always concerning you. Over the grace of God, which is being given you in Christ Jesus. Oh my gosh, this is loaded. I just imagine Paul writing this to you, but in a way he is. He's writing this to the whole body of Christ. No, I mean, he's actually writing to the Corinthians, but Paul is the apostle of the nations. I'm thanking my God always concerning you. In spite of their immaturity, in spite of their screwing prostitutes, in spite of their eating like animals, eating like lions hovering over a zebra, that's the way the Corinthians ate their meals. Paul deals with this later on. They're sectarian, wanting to divide into sects. Paul admonishes them for that. And then in the midst of it all, he writes the love chapter, chapter 13. Maybe they needed to hear it. But listen to what they're hearing now. Paul is thanking God concerning them. Wouldn't you like to hear Paul say that about you? Paul writes you and you're having a crappy day. You feel like you're not worthy of this calling. You feel that it's too high. You're not good enough. I don't study enough, this and that. And Paul writes you and sees, and Paul says to you, he writes you a letter. You get it in the mail from an apostle with, you know, the U.S. Postal Service. And Paul says, I am thanking my God always concerning you. God, man, that would be, whew, really? Coming from the man, that's something. Then he kind of, not many people would recognize this, but he modifies it a little bit with the very next statement. Thanking my God always concerning you over the grace of God which is being given to you in Christ Jesus. Martin, why do you say he's dialing it back? Well, grace is favor granted to those who deserve the opposite. That's the definition of the word. The Greek word is charis, C-H-A-R-I-S. The English element is joy, because that's what it produces when you apprehend that you have been given this boon. And it comes to those deserving the opposite. So basically, Paul is here saying, you people deserve the opposite, but he doesn't say that. He just says that they're being given grace, the grace of God being given you in Christ Jesus. And Paul would have said, and I mean, it was necessary. Yeah, thank God that he gave you grace. Otherwise, you people would be dead for the eon, and you would not rise again. But because of Christ, because of God, they are receiving grace. He's loading them, he's freighting them with glory. He's loading them up with blessings. It's like you go over to your neighbor's house in his garden with a wheelbarrow, and you pull your wheelbarrow up, and your neighbor has like a watermelon garden. In the summer, we had a neighbor when I was a kid, Gordon Foal, and he grew watermelons, and we'd go over with a wheelbarrow, get a couple watermelons, right? I could just imagine Gordon Foal like putting one watermelon on, then two, then three, then four, then five, and stacking like this pyramid of watermelons. I'd be laughing, I'd be like, woohoo! This is what Paul is doing. He's loading them up, and when they think he's done, he's just loading blessings here. In everything, you are enriched in him, in all expression and all knowledge, according as the testimony of Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not deficient in any grace, uses it again, awaiting the unveiling of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will be confirming you also, you, the Corinthians, of all people, will be confirming you until the consummation, unimpeachable. Unimpeachable. No one, when this thing's done, no one will be able to say one bad thing concerning you. Unimpeachable in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, faithful is God through whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. My God, I'm only through verse 9.